That was beautiful, Kimberly and Bert. Thank you. That is the definition of a hard act to follow. Well, our reading today comes from the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23, verses 1 through 4, which can be found on page 25 of the New Testament in the Pew Bibles and also on the screens. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it. But do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. They tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, there's something different that's been going on when it comes to the relationship people have with Jesus and the church these days. There's a difference between the way they connect Jesus and the church, and it's because some people are finding themselves willing to and able to disconnect the two. They can say to themselves, "I like Jesus, I love Jesus, but not the church." Now, you may have heard that phrase before, "I like Jesus and not the church," and it's not a new phenomenon, but it is something that's becoming more and more prevalent. It's becoming something also akin to that phrase, "it's spiritual, but not religious." There are people who believe in a sense of spirituality, maybe a sense of God, and then there's a group of people who find themselves thinking that there is no God. And what's interesting to me, and I hope hopefully interesting to you, is that both of these groups of people are some of the fastest growing people groups that we have in America. They're the fastest growing groups of religious people are people who have no faith or are people who are done with faith, the nuns and the duns. Not the Catholic sisters, but the N-O-N-E-S. And the people that are D-O-N-E. Now, some people find themselves that are completely done with the church. Some people find themselves completely done with Jesus. But there are people who find themselves that say, "I love Jesus, but not the church." Now, this is not just a sociological phenomenon that I want to ask us to think about over the next few weeks. This is also a very personal phenomenon, isn't it? Because this isn't something that is brand new to some of you, but it is something to find true about your neighbors. How many of you have found yourselves thinking about this? How many of you have found yourselves for the first time in your life knowing neighbors who maybe say that they're Christians but don't go to church? That's something that you would never have experienced before in an era gone by. Or how many of you have raised children in the church who have found themselves saying to themselves, "I'm really appreciative of the experience and I really like Jesus, but I have no place and no room for the church in my life anymore"? One or two of those situations might be present in your life, or one of those might describe a relationship you have with a neighbor, a coworker. Maybe it describes a relationship you have with a child, or maybe it describes a relationship you have with someone who you have mentored or have taught. Not just about parents and children or grandparents and children, it's about all adults as well. But this is the situation we find ourselves in, and it's not something that is with the church at large we're used to. We're not used to finding ourselves in connection with people such as this. We're not used to finding ourselves wrestling with this is what our neighbors are like, or this is what our children are like. And the reality is people are walking away from Jesus and the church, and they're walking away for really valid reasons. They find themselves confronted with a disconnect between what Jesus taught and what the church is doing. They find themselves in a disconnect between what they know or what they think the church should be about and what the church actually is about. And when you check into what they're saying, they have had good reasons to disconnect Jesus from the church. They have found themselves walking away from the faith. They have found themselves walking away from the church. And for those of us who are church people, we have done something that they maybe can't do or haven't done yet, which is to reconcile the disconnect. We have found that there's enough good or enough helpfulness in the church that we find ourselves compelled to stay in love with Jesus, as it were, but also find our way into staying in relationship with the church. And the biggest problem that they have, and we have, is the disconnect between Jesus and his message. because the message that the church is sharing isn't always one that sounds familiar, at least when it comes to what Jesus said. Now, to put ourselves in a situation to understand what Jesus was saying and to understand this disconnect that people have been feeling with religious leaders and religious communities for some time, I want us to go back to a familiar conversation between Jesus and the Pharisees. Jesus and the Pharisees is an ongoing relationship and conversation that they've been having throughout all of Jesus' ministry. And by the time we get to near the end of Jesus' ministry, he gets to the point where he's ready to offer a critique of the Pharisees. He has heard them, he has watched them, they have heard him, they have watched him. The disciples have watched them argue, the disciples have watched the Pharisees lose and Jesus win. And finally, towards the end of Jesus' earthly time on earth, he offers a teaching to the disciples and the crowd about the Pharisees. And you heard it a moment ago. Jesus warns the people, warns the disciples, that they should listen to the teachings of the Pharisees because, as it were, they were the religious leaders, and what they were saying was true and helpful. Jesus described it as sitting on the seat of Moses, which is symbolism for being with the recognized religious leaders. But yet then also, Jesus goes on to say, but do not do as they do. Because Jesus is pointing out that they are hypocrites. They have been teaching one thing and doing another. They have been setting up undue burdens on the people of Israel. They have making it harder and harder for them to connect with God. They have made it harder and harder for them to engage in worship at the temple. They have made it harder and harder to serve one another. And what did the Pharisees do? They would force these rules on the people, and then they would create loopholes for themselves so they didn't have to follow them. And then they would close the loopholes on the people. And the people found themselves arguing or finding themselves wrestling with this disconnect between what the Pharisees were teaching and what they were doing. And Jesus came and said to the people then and says to us now, yes, there's a disconnect between what they were teaching and what God wants. And there should be no disconnect anymore. Now, the hard part of this story is we can recognize the Pharisees' fault in some of this. We also know that they were acting in good faith. We know that they were acting in such a way that was consistent with what they thought was best for the people and for Israel. But the reality is, in hindsight, we can see that the Pharisees weren't holding up their end of the bargain, and Jesus didn't want the people to be trapped or forced into doing the things that they were not willing to do themselves anymore from a religious perspective. And so what Jesus says to them is to listen to their teachings, but not to do as they do, because they don't listen to themselves. Now, this might lead you to wonder, how does this apply to our situation today? And the reality is, for people that are like to say, I like Jesus, but not the church, and for people that are finding themselves wanting to say that they are spiritual, but not religious, they have the same critique of the church today that Jesus had of the Pharisees then, is that the religious people are putting extra burdens on everybody else that don't belong there. They're saying that there is a way to God that the religious people control, and that there is only one way to all these things, that they're going to be the gatekeepers, and that yet oftentimes the religious people, then they don't follow the own rules that they set up for themselves, or they don't follow the rules that God set up for them. And so there's this disconnect between what they are teaching and what they are doing. And the hard part is, as we hear those stories, we go, oh, shame on those religious people over there. They're the ones that need to get their act together. They're the ones that don't do as they say or do as they teach. But the reality is, whether you do or not do as you teach, people who are on the outside looking in assume that every Christian is the same way. And if they're on the outside looking in, whether you are a Christian who follows through as best you can on what is taught and what you do and what you teach and what you do, we get lumped in. And so people who love Jesus but not the church, and people who are spiritual but not religious, they find themselves with a massive disconnect because they know the teachings of Jesus and they see the actions of the church and they wonder what has gone on. And so there's this problem we have where we have our public witness, our public actions that are not meant to be showy, but are meant to be done so that people can benefit. And there's a disconnect between what we do at times and what we don't do based on what we teach. And this is a problem that we have for all of us. Now, you might be sitting here thinking, well, I'm not a religious leader. I just come to church, or I just help with coffee hour, or I'm an usher, or whatever it might be. I just sing in the choir and all these wonderful things. And the reality is that we all are subject to this critique. As soon as you claim Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and as soon as you say to someone, I'm a part of the church, there's a disconnect, perhaps, in the minds of many people. Because what they hear is, oh, you're a Christian. Oh, you're going to judge me. Oh, eventually you're going to be more hypocritical than I can tolerate. Oh, you're going to be an anti-science person. Oh, you're going to be a climate change denier. You're going to be an anti-evolution person. You're going to be a biblical literalist. You're going to be homophobic. You're going to be racist. These are the things that people think about Christians. Sometimes we give them good reason to think that's what we all think. And sometimes we don't. People are walking away from the faith, and they have good reasons to be walking away. But we have a good reason to help them find the big and. There is a way that we can help people embrace that so they can say, I love Jesus and the church. If we, as followers of Jesus, can listen to the critique that is valid and helpful of our actions and the disconnect between what is taught by Jesus and what is sometimes enacted by all of us, we can close that gap. And we can show them that we are true disciples of Jesus. We can show them that the words of Jesus, the words of our Lord and Savior, have actually impacted the way we want to live so that there's a way that they can see how God wants them to live, so they can see what is God's best for the world. And when we can put together the teachings and the actions, we close the gap. And we present to them a deep connection between our public witness and the teachings of our Savior. And we can show them that there are people who truly want to believe that they can say, I love Jesus and the church. But to do so, we have to confront our shortcomings. To do so, we have to be honest that we need God's help to be the kind of people that we want us to be. We have to be honest that God needs to be at work in and through all of us as a group of people, but not just as this group of people, but throughout all Christians everywhere. And if we can invite God into that mix, we can help people come to know God's love. We can help them come to know that there's a place for them in the church as a part of God's family. So over the next few weeks, we're going to explore this further together. And I invite you to come back next week as we continue this conversation. Some of you might have been hoping that I was going to let you off the hook. Come back next week. I promise, don't want to miss it. Because as Christians who call themselves Presbyterians, we have done some things right and have a good starting place that can be an example. But we have a long way to go. But the reality is, God knew that there would always be a long way to go for people. And the beautiful thing is that even though we have a long way to go in many of these areas, God still loves us. God still is with us. And God still believes that the church is the world's best hope to know the love of Christ. God hasn't given up on us, and so we don't have to give up on ourselves. So let us embrace the reality that God is calling us to share this big and with all people, so that more and more people can come to say, I love Jesus and the church. Amen. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you have been with us. We thank you that you are with us in all moments of life. And gracious God, we ask that you continue to guide us as we seek to be faithful to connect your teachings and our actions. Holy God, we ask that you allow us to find our way into a future where there is a greater connection between your Son and your people, so that all people might come to know and hear that there's a big and that can include them. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.